Well, I'm grateful to be asked to speak this morning. My name is Rob. I've actually been part of this church, for a long time. And I do feel badly that I'm often not here on the weekends. It does give me an opportunity, though, to say to you how special this church is. If you've been exposed to other churches, you know how precious this group is and what God is doing here and your focus on reaching the communities for Christ. I just love this. And you need to know how much you're prayed for outside of Calgary as well as inside of Calgary. The last 6 months, I've been thinking a lot about the power of words. And I want to speak about that this morning. In a sense, I suppose I want to invite you to journey with me on what God's been dealing with in my life. And, if you know different books of the Bible, you could immediately think of books like James, where James talks about the power of the tongue. You might even think, well, you could go to the Jesus words, because he talks about out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. But I want to go to the book of Proverbs and really pick a few, because you have to do that. There's a lot of Proverbs that have to do with the tongue. When I was in university, I went through the exercise of thinking, well, I'm going to go through the book of Proverbs, and every proverb that I want to memorize, I'm going to underline it. And by the time you get to the end of the book of Proverbs, you've probably underlined almost the entire book, which then becomes a daunting task. And because Proverbs is so full, I think, of advice and wisdom that God is going to knit into our lives as we follow him. I'm going to unpack this a little more, but I also want to suggest to you this. There's a lot of people that are walking around, maybe even here this morning, with broken spirits. There's a difference between a broken will and a broken spirit. A broken will can happen any number of ways, and it's a healthy thing. If you'd be, I'm looking for that with my own children, 17 years old, 14 years old, almost 12 years old. Their will does need to be broken. I don't want to be a willful person. Do you know what I'm saying? And God can use all sorts of circumstances. And as parents, we can use all sorts of mechanisms to try to bring a meekness to our children. There's a difference between that, though, and those circumstances in life that go quite a bit deeper and they break our spirit. We walk around then as broken people. We're wounded. And while I'm not going to be speaking exclusively about that, before we talk about the power of words, I want to acknowledge that a lot of the Proverbs talk about the healing power of words. And in order for something to be healed, it implies that something has been wounded or broken. In my life, when I was in high school, that was a painful experience for me. I went through a lot of bullying. Until recently, I haven't spoken a lot about it. In 9th and 10th grade, it became quite bad. There were periods of time when I would be in the basement of our home fantasizing about what it would be like not to be here anymore. You can recognize how close you are to the threshold of taking your life. I had parents who loved me. I had siblings who loved me. I had a church family that loved me, but I was living in a very broken place. My spirit was being broken. That's the kind of thing I'm getting at. There are life-shaping events for all of us. And then for you, you might say, well, actually, my high school experience was really great. Well, awesome, but there might have been something else. I also would say that if I were to ask you to think about something somebody said, just let your mind kind of float over something somebody said somewhere in your life that really wounded you, it wouldn't take most of us long to land on it. That there was something somebody said, a teacher, a parent, a sibling, somebody in church, somebody in the community. I don't know, it get countless opportunities, but somebody said something and it went deep inside. And it was one of those things that kind of sucks the strength out of you. You know what I'm talking about? When you kind of feel the weakness in your bones, you just almost feel like you have to sit down because it's just like, ouch, that hurt. And sometimes they don't even mean to do it. And yet, there can be a handful of things in our life that shape how we experience or respond to the world in which we live. And we don't even know what's happening. That's what I'm getting at. During that period of time for me, you also need to know that At that time in my life, there was no one that I adored more than my father. I loved that man. No more influential person in my life than my father. I was raised hearing stories of my father, who was something of a high school jock. He was on the basketball team. He was rather popular. And so how do you tell your father that that is not your experience in high school? So I hadn't spoken to him. It wasn't his fault. I just hadn't spoken to him. But it reached this critical place in my life. It reached this very dark place in my life. And in our little home in Vancouver, we used to do our homework at the kitchen table. That's when we didn't have desks in our rooms. We would all just sit there at the kitchen table and do our homework. And so I was in there alone one night, and my dad came walking in. And he must have noticed something was wrong and just says, "Rob, what is going on in your life?" And he sat down, and we started talking. And wouldn't you know it, that just that time, the phone rings. Now, the cardinal rule in our house prior to answering machines was when the phone rang, and unless you were eating supper, you answered the phone. So my dad jumped up, answered the phone, and it was our band teacher. My dad was the president of our band association, and the band director was, I guess, calling to talk to him about something, and he left the room, and my heart as a teenager just sunk. And then inexplicably, my dad would come in, and at the top of my homework page, he would just write these two letters, VP. He went away. You got to know how long it felt like for me this phone conversation went on. And then he'd come back in, and he'd trace over VP. He'd go away. I had no idea what that meant. I thought the band teacher was talking to him about a vice president for the band association. I thought he was just trying to tell me, "Rob, this is really important." So by and by, the conversation ended. Comes back to the table, takes his seat again. He says, "Rob, do you know what that means? Vice president? Very proud. I am very proud of you. I wish I had saved that homework sheet." He has no idea the healing that began in my life that night. Just because he took up a pen and said to his son, who was in the middle of a pit, "Your dad is very proud of you." That's what I'm talking about. There is power in words. Let me just go over a few Proverbs that we're not going to look at this morning, but Proverbs 10 verse 11 says, "The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life." Proverbs 10:31 says, "The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom." Proverbs 10:32 says, "The lips of the righteous know what's fitting." Proverbs 18:21 says, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Listen to that. Your tongue has the power of life and death. Proverbs 15:4 says, "The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life." What am I saying? The tongue that is controlled by God is sweet. Its words are healing. You don't even have to roll your tongue around in your mouth. Just become aware of that hunk of flesh, that 2.5 to 3 pounds of flesh that's sitting inside of your mouth this morning. God says that piece of you has the power of life and death. So, I want to look this morning. How does your tongue minister healing to someone else? I do want to look at three Proverbs. The first is Proverbs 16:24. This is what it says. "Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones." That sounds good. The word I'd put on this is simply sweet. When people reflect on how I speak to them, would they conclude Rob's words are sweet? Would they say that about you? That your words are sweet. Your words are like a honeycomb. When I was growing up, here's the layout of my family. I have a sister who's 2 years older, and then my parents, we went through kind of a long period, and then 6.5 years after I was born, my brother was born, and 10 years after I was born, my sister was born. I say all that to say, I was part of taking care of my younger siblings. And I particularly remember my sister Ruth. Whenever she would cry inconsolably as a as a baby, my mother would tell me, maybe you remember this practice prior to all of our kind of concerns about pasteurization. My mother would say, Rob, go get that soother or pacifier and just get a dollop of honey on it and shove it in your sister's mouth. Did you do that in your home? Okay. They really weren't aware of pasteurization issues. Anyway, the reason is because if you put a big chunk of honey on the end of that soother, the baby wouldn't let it out of its mouth until it sucked every last morsel off. Just would people be that way about your words? Are people saying, you know what, I just want to be around this person and suck every last morsel out of their mouth because their words are so sweet to me. They're sweet to the soul. They're comforting. They're healing to the bones. I said a moment ago, there are times when somebody says something to you and you know it. I mean, it hits you like a 2x4. I was raised with a father who used to say at times, he'd say, Rob, I'd rather somebody would hit me upside the head with a 2x4 than say those words to me. They hurt so bad. And most of the time, we just shrug them off. But there are those words that get inside of us, and there's a weakness in us. You just go to bed early. It hurts so bad. You just want to get underneath the covers because it just hurt. And the proverb writer says, there are words that go deep inside to where that hurt lives, and they can heal your bones. They can fortify. They can reinforce. They can strengthen you. I would suggest to you that your words go deep inside other people, and they have the power to affect something in their well-being. Your coworkers, they can go home changed at the end of the day because of the way you speak to them. Your colleagues in school, people who live next to you in your neighborhood, do people benefit from your words? Do people say that your words are sweet? Are your words, let me put it another way, are my words a joy to receive? Or are they a hard pill to swallow? I say all this to say, choose your words carefully. God can take your words, he can take my words, and he can drive them deep inside another person. They can have a transaction inside someone else's life. You can feel the change. Let me go to the next proverb. Proverbs 25, verse 11. This was one of my father's favorite proverbs. I heard him quote it, not always, encouraging me. Sometimes it would be his rebuke. But this is the words, an aptly spoken word. Proverbs 25, 11. An aptly spoken word is like apples of gold in a goblet of silver. What on earth does that mean? I mean, it just sounds nice, doesn't it? An aptly spoken word. Aptly spoken word means the right word at the right time, said to the right person. Right word, right time, right person. When our middle child was growing up, when he was a little boy, I'm talking 2-3 years old, young in the whole language thing, I would go up, as was my custom every night, to pray with our kids. And for whatever reason, John would look at me and say, Daddy, can you come back in a few minutes and tell me I'm doing a good job? I don't know where that came from. But as a father, I'm going to tell you it was no struggle at all to look at my clock and 2 to 3 minutes later, go back up to that doorway and say, hey, John, son, you're doing a good job. And he'd smile and just drift off to sleep. This was night after night after night after night, month after month. I just want to confess to you, I wish it was always that easy. I wish it was always that easy. I wish that when everybody walked in here this morning, there was a bubble over your head that said, I'm scared. You know, I just got diagnosed with an illness. My parents are ill. I'm lonely. And we would be able to say, you know what, you're not alone. Don't be afraid. But it's not always that easy, is it? When my father woke up the morning of the VP message on my page, I guarantee you, he wasn't thinking, you know what I'm going to do tonight? I'm going to have the band director call me and interrupt a conversation with my son, and I'm just going to write very proud on his page. It'll change his life forever. That's not what happened. He was just a man who was walking with God, and in the moment, God said, speak to your son. An aptly spoken word. It's impossible to speak those kind of words unless we're walking with Christ, guys. It is. I mean, we may stumble across a kind word, but those kind of words that go deep, we've got to be open to him, and lightning strikes at the right moment. An aptly spoken word. The word I'd give to this is, are your words precise? Sweet, yes, but are they precise? This phrase, apples of gold in a setting of silver, it may be kind of a gold and silver ornament. It may be gold and silver kind of piece of art, but either way, what it really symbolizes is craftsmanship, that they're carefully crafted, that the words are beautiful, that they're attractive, that they're valuable. The right word at the right time has great influence. You know that to be true, because when you receive them, you go to bed with a smile on your face saying, thank you for that. I guess my challenge to you today is, are you willing to be the person who speaks that kind of word? What's my point? There's immense value and there's memorable beauty when words are used well. Let me get to the last proverb, Proverbs 12:18. This to me probably is the most pointed of all. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. I really want to be transparent and tell you this. I know I've pierced people with words. I haven't thought about what I was saying to my kids. I was frustrated. I was stressed. And my words, you can tell because tears come pretty quick. And they're not tears of a broken will, they're tears of a broken spirit. You can tell when your reckless words have pierced a colleague because suddenly it's just like you punched him in the gut and it's just, whew. Now here's the, you will get the same result. You will get the same result. Your child will behave, your colleague will be quiet, the car will settle down, but the long-term impact will be quite different. My prayer is, God, would you guard my heart against reckless words? Let me expand this a bit. Christians, we hurt people in our community more often than we know it. We rant on Facebook. We retweet tweets. And we don't even realize how deeply piercing our words can be. Oh, but I'm upset about the political environment in Alberta, and I'm upset about the decisions being made in our country, the moral decisions, the social climate. You know what? Christians, our words can pierce like a sword. This is of concern to me because I want people to hear the very best news that's ever been spoken. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ, that God loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him wouldn't perish but have everlasting life, that he didn't send his son into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through him could be saved. And we wonder why people won't listen to that. And often it's because every other word that comes out of the Christian mouth is hurtful. So I want to be mindful. Reckless words, ill thought through words can pierce. Just because I'm angry doesn't mean I get to say whatever I please. Just because I have this sense of righteous indignation doesn't mean I get to say just whatever I please. Those reckless words pierce like a sword. But let me talk about the flip side. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. Wise words heal. When I read this verse 6 months ago, I thought, can it really mean healing? I mean, healing in the same sense as when you're cut and you heal? Actually, that's exactly what this word means. Your words heal. I can't tell you I understand it. I'm not saying that you lay your hand on someone's broken arm and suddenly it's not broken anymore. I'm talking about something far deeper inside. Something's broken inside of a person, and because of how God uses your tongue, they're healed. Something begins to move back towards health. There are words that are faithful and true. There are words that are gentle and kind, uplifting, encouraging. I would suggest to you there are wounds that people walk around with that require stitches and bandages. But it seems to me that the writer of Proverbs is saying there are other wounds that require words. That you're the first responder in someone's life. That you're the spiritual physician. You're the spiritual pharmacist dispatching some kind of healing medicine. What are some of these words? Based on my study of the book of Proverbs, as well as some of the broader witness of Scripture, let me give you at least five words that I think are healing words. These aren't just encouraging words. There's a whole other thing to be said about encouraging words. These are words that I think people long to hear, and when they hear them, it can transact something deeply inside. Here's the first, is I am sorry. So as Canadians, we say this all the time. Some of you know my family's story right now. My wife and kids are in Tennessee taking care of my in-laws because they're of their health. I say all that to say that I was down in Tennessee with my family at a ball field, and I was helping to my sons were playing soccer, and I was helping to direct traffic. And one of these cars was driving by me, and he stopped, and he said, "Excuse me, sir, do you know where I can find an IHOP? Do you know what IHOP is? International House of Pancakes, breakfast place?" Okay. I said, "Well, I don't know that there is one in this town, but if you go up a couple of streets, you can ask somebody. I'm actually not from around here." And he says, "Okay." And as he drove away, I said, "I'm sorry." And he stopped his car and he backed up. I'm not making this stuff up. He says, "You must be Canadian." I'm like, "Did I say A?" You know? He said, "You're the only people that apologize for things you have no power over." I'm not talking about that. I've become painfully aware of how often I say sorry to people, and then I go, "Why did I do that?" I'm talking about a thoughtful, intentional realization. What I did was wrong, and I am sorry. If I could go back and do it otherwise, I would, but I can't. I just want you to know I am so sorry. There are people who are waiting to hear those words. I own my stuff. I own what I did, and I want to tell you I'm sorry. Second word would be, I forgive you. I was raised by a grandmother who would say to me often, "Robert, I'll forgive, but I will never forget." That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the forgiveness that says, "I release you." Doesn't mean it was all right that you did that. Doesn't mean that I forget it. I mean, it was a painful experience. I will remember it, but I will not hold it against you in that way. I will release you from that. I forgive you. Think about how many times Jesus talked about forgiveness. Not just that he forgives us, we love that phrase, but how he went one step further and said, being forgiven for so much, forgive someone else, release them. There are husbands and wives who need to say, "I forgive you." There's husbands and wives who need a wall to get tore down between the two of them. Here's the third phrase, "I love you." Not just when you hang up the phone and say, "Love you." You know, I say that to my siblings. I say that to my wife. It's like, "Love you. Love you too." I mean that moment when you look your beloved in the eyes and say, I cherish you. I adore you. When you walk through the room, my jaw drops and I go, "There's never been anyone else like you created. You are mine. You're with me. I love you." There are children who need to hear that. There are parents who need to hear that. They've waited a long time since a child has called to say, there's no other reason for my call today but to tell you, I love you. There are two more. I see you. As far as I can tell, the first name given to God specifically was the God who sees. Given by a single mother sitting on a roadside, cast out by the man who had gotten her pregnant. And there she sits wanting to die. And the God of the universe comes to her and says, "I see you." And she calls him the God who sees. I think in a city like Calgary, there are a lot of people who wonder if anybody sees them at all. Maybe they're immigrants to our nation and they don't speak English very well. Or maybe their life has just completely fallen apart. Maybe they're one of the thousands of people who've lost their job this year. They don't know how to pay their mortgage. We're right back to where we were in 2007 and 2008 and 2009, where you could walk out of this place, throw a stone, and hit a family in crisis. And somebody sees them. When you go in to pay for gas or when you pay for your lunch at the restaurant, does that person get the sense that you see them? And here's the last phrase. I value you. I could say this all sorts of different ways, so let me suggest some other ways of saying it. I think there are people who want to know that they belong somewhere. Southwinds, this is the kind of church where people can belong. I would hope that no one walks in or walks out that they don't have one of us grab them and say, I'm so glad you're here this morning. You belong here. We're your family. I value you. An extension of this is how many people are just waiting for someone to say, I am proud of you. You've had to make a difficult stand, and it's costing you, but you're not alone. You need to know how proud we are of you. There are some kids, and I'm not talking about that kind of evil pride that leads to egotism and selfishness. I'm just talking about the kind of self-awareness that says, you know what, your dad, your mom is proud of you. I talked to my kids about this, and John, who used to tell me to come up and tell him he's doing a good job, for some reason has started calling me out of the blue and just saying, Daddy, it's John, you're doing a good job. I need it. You know, it's funny how I need that as a dad. But are we speaking into each other's lives, these kind of healing words? These aren't suggestions, and I would also say this isn't something, I mean, there are times when you are exposed to truth and you think, well, this will take me months to really weave into my life. I guarantee you, you will find an application by the end of today. You may even find an application on the way home. The power of words.